Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Donnie Chedrick with you live at Sports and Social Steel City on the second floor here at Live Casino in Greensburg. Stop out, enjoy an ice-cold Miller Lite. Training camp coverage on 93.7 The Fan is presented by Smail Kia in Greensburg and brought to you by Miller Lite, Schleideck, and New Flow Men's Health. One more hour from Sports and Social Steel City, and we will spend that with Alan Saunders from Pittsburgh Sports Now. He covers the Steelers. And Alan, I know that you are somebody like me that loves to try cuisine everywhere you go. So the fine folks here at Sports and Social, they brought me a whole array of wings. You can see they're all labeled here. These guys I'm a little bit afraid of. That's their hottest sauce, and it has that Carolina Reaper in it. So I figured I'm going to have to wait until we're probably done, because if I consume one of those, I don't know how much longer I'd be able to go with a headset on.
Not very conducive to radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, the super hot wings.
The other ones, though, very, very, very good.
What's your favorite so far?
So I just had this zesty garlic during the last break, and I like that one a lot. And then the sweet Thai chili, which is right next to it. That's the sweet Thai chili kind of in my wheelhouse. You know, I'm a sweet and hot type guy. But some more great wings in the fine Westmoreland County area, which you have been spending plenty of time at Steelers training camp. Friday Night Lights practice tomorrow. That's everybody's favorite practice of the entire year. It's a whole different feel. It's that real Friday Night Lights feel, high school-wise. The players get to ride in on the buses. And Jeff Hathorn told me last hour just how cool it is for some of the players, too, because it takes those guys back. Do you get a sense of that, too, when they get out there for that big practice at Latrobe Memorial?
Yeah, we see Mike Tomlin. You know, he's always trying to find ways to get his guys fired up. He's got all sorts of tricks up his sleeve. That's the one practice a year where he doesn't have to do anything other than show up, because everybody's already pumped up. The crowd is huge. Just the whole environment. They put their pads on, get on the school bus, drive over through the city. There's people cheering them on in the streets on the way over there. It's always the one practice where you can be sure the guys are going in there super fired up and ready to go, and it usually delivers. It's usually one of the more fun practices of the year.
Something else I told Jeff, too, it's a little bit different because, you know, Latrobe is a blue-collar town, okay? You know, it's not like the players are riding the buses through Fox Chapel or anything like that where, you know, or the areas where they would see their own houses at. I mean, you're driving through Latrobe. You know, these are people who have grinded away for generations. You're going past some old mills out there. Like, I feel like it hits a little bit different given the town that you're in.
Yeah, you can see the mill right there from the field. It's right in the – it's sort of the backdrop of the stadium. It's very cool. You get the old little whoopee old sunset over the stands, which is the best. One of my favorite parts of football season. Covered a lot of high school football in this area. And it's just a great environment. The fans all the way around the stadium – everybody gets a good time. Everybody gets an autograph. It's a blast.
Practice today, it was a little bit earlier. They wanted to get out ahead of the Doppler, as Mike Tomlin likes to say. A little bit cooler, too, than it was the last couple of days. I was around yesterday at camp when it was 95 degrees. It felt like over 100 on the field. Today a little bit nicer, but certainly some fiery actions taking place on the field.
Oh, they brought it today
with some skirmishes.
Today was one of those days. I don't know what Mike Tomlin did or said to the defensive backs, but they came out looking for blood from the beginning. They were fired up, and there was trash talk. There was some pushing and shoving, but it's exactly what you want to see at a training camp. That fierce competition. Got to see some really good battles with that secondary and the wide receivers and the tight ends. Secondary looks awesome. I can't really remember feeling the way I feel about the secondary right now coming into a Steelers season for a really long time. The addition of Jalen Ramsey, not just his skill, but like his whole mood, his whole attitude, I think, is permeating through that defense in a positive way that they're feeling themselves a little bit, and I think it's a good thing.
You're not the only guy to mention that. It feels like that's a pretty constant theme, that the secondary looks very, very good and very ahead of schedule opposed to every other position group.
Yeah, they look great. I wasn't sure how it was going to go. You know, you trade for Ramsey, it's awkward, right? Three outside corners. It's been totally smooth. He's playing mostly in the slot, a little bit of safety. Slay's been playing well. Porter's been playing well. Juan Thornhill's been playing really well. He was sort of leading the charge. Him and Jonnu Smith were getting into it today. I just think it's a really good veteran group, and I think it should be one of the strengths of the team.
Do you get the sense that we will see Ramsey, Slay, Porter on the field a lot together?
I think almost every snap. I don't expect there to be a package outside of maybe the goal line where those guys aren't all out there.
It seems. I mean, I had Nick Faribault on last night. You obviously know the great work that Nick does. And he's not the only one that has said this. Others on the beat have said it. So, I mean, I'm wondering if you have the same thoughts. Like, Jalen Ramsey hasn't lost a step. This guy still looks like he's playing at a very high level.
His work ethic is crazy. I was talking to some fans at practice today, and they were saying, I said, who are you trying to get for an autograph? And they were saying, okay, maybe Metcalf. And I'm like, yeah, he's been signing autographs, and maybe Ramsey is like, ooh. He's been at practice longer than me, I think. He's just out there working on the jugs machine, working on his craft, super locked in. I don't see any drop-off at all. In fact, I think he looks better than I remember seeing him in what I watched last season. Maybe he just wasn't happy in Miami. I don't know, but he seems really, really fired up and ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, he was objective. Like, he was still a good football player last season. I feel like people just – and I've fallen victim to this too to some degree before. You just see the age next to a guy and think, oh, well, he has to have fallen off. You know, he's at that magic age of 30, and he plays defensive back. He has to have fallen off. But it just doesn't seem like it's there with him yet.
No, and I'm not sure he's as good as he was in his prime when the Rams were winning the Super Bowl, but I don't think he needs to be. Well, not with the talent that's around him. When he was on that side, he was the whole secondary for them. You know, he just has to be a part of the whole for the Steelers, and I think he can definitely do that.
How much do you think this benefits Joey Porter Jr. being in the presence of really two of the best corners of the 2010s and into the early 2020s with Slay and Ramsey?
Yeah, Slay was joking that he and Ramsey got hooked up by, they got put into a group chat together with some of the other best cornerbacks in the NFL. And he was like, yeah, we're getting Joey in that group. You know, it's like they have a, in addition to wanting to play well, wanting to prove themselves that they still got it, that I think they have really taken on a mission to make Joey Porter Jr. the best version of himself. And, man, like, if it doesn't work out for Joey, you can't blame the Steelers for the guys that put around him. You had Pat Pete, you know, now these guys. Like, that's some real talent at cornerback that they've had, that he can pick their brains. I think he looks good so far. He looked really physical on the first day in pads. Man, he looked like Joey Porter Sr. out there. There were some tackles. And you remember 2 years ago when he first came out of Penn State, that was a big issue. And I think he deserves a lot of credit for really cleaning that up. I know people kind of got down on him for the penalties last year, but I think he's going to have a good year. I think he's still on track to become a really good corner.
So you feel pretty good that he can clean up that part of his game where he had he had 16 penalties or something last year?
I mean, he's always going to have that be a part of him. He's going to be a guy that gets more penalties than average. I just think he can get it under control to where it's an acceptable level.
And Juan Thornhill in his early going, I mean, he's coming off a pretty ugly season, I think, to just put it mildly. So his first season here, he fills the void left by Minkah Fitzpatrick, but it seems to be so far so good.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting him to be as good as he is. And, you know, one of the things you look at on his time with the Browns, he just didn't play that much. He was hurt a lot. And that's going to have to be something they're going to continue to, I don't know about worry about, but that's something that could happen, right? I think he only played 14 games over the last 2 years. And so that's something to be cognizant of. But when he's out there, he looks great. He's talking. I think one of the things that Omar Khan deserves so much credit for is the minor, I think we call him a minor free agent signing. So many of those guys have come in and just been incredible culture fits for the defense. Like Deshaun Elliott, even if he didn't turn out to be as good as he did, like great fit for the defense. Landon Roberts, same thing. Like just guys that like feel like Pittsburgh Steelers. Juan Thornhill is exactly that.
I thought Elliott was one of their best players last year. He was certainly the most entertaining, I felt, on the defensive side.
He makes me smile every time I see him play. Like he's just fun. He is a troll. He said that about himself the other day. He's always talking. He's getting in people's heads, and it's fun to watch.
Well, he's the one that made the comment on the Aaron Rodgers post, right? Yeah. Like you said, keep him in the nursing home or something.
Yeah. He's since apologized to Aaron for that, and he's walked it back a little bit. Hey, Aaron looks good too, man. So he's earned some of his mistakes, but he's a fun guy to watch play every day.
How about the other safety brought in, Chuck Clark? Some of the early thoughts with him.
The guy got off the plane and practiced in like 4 hours later and was taking second team reps. It's not like it was like token stuff. They just threw him in there. I know he's a veteran guy, but that was really impressive to me. He looks physical. He got in DK Metcalf's face today over something. I don't know what. But, that's picking on the big dog right away. And he seems to fit right in with culturally. I don't know that they have a real, he's been more of like that sort of box or hybrid safety. They don't have like a true center fielder out there. But I think it's a good fit. I think, they don't have a lot of depth there. They need to add somebody after they traded Fitzpatrick, and he seems like he's working so far.
So this is a little bit of a concern I do have with the departure of Minkah Fitzpatrick. And, as much as we were, kind of getting on him, the lack of splash plays, just, kind of hanging out. The guy was 35 yards off the line of scrimmage in some cases last season. But that seemed to allow Deshaun Elliott to do what he was able to do and have a lot of the success and impactful plays that he was able to have. I'm a little bit worried now with Fitzpatrick out. Will Elliott still be able to have that freedom? And, you bring up they don't really have a true center field guy. Like, will Elliott still be able to kind of impact the game the way he did because there's maybe not a guy that is back there as the center fielder type?
I think so, because I think they feel much better about their ability to play man coverage. I think that's the real flip there, is that, they don't have a center fielder, but they're not going to have to play as much zone. I think Mike Tomlin really wants to play more man. You look at what the three cornerbacks can do, and even Brandon Echols, Corey Trice, you want to talk about a camp battle that I'm not sure anybody saw coming. Those two guys are both playing really well. One of them is going to be the fourth cornerback. They're going to be able to man up teams, and that's going to let Elliott do his thing. Now, there's going to be times when they're going to want to play zone behind, and he's going to have to be a little bit more passive in those plays. But the man coverage, I think, will be the key to keeping him free, and I think they can do it with the guys they got on the outside.
With Trice and Echols, do you feel that that's like an odd man out? Like, loser of that might miss the 53-man roster, or do you think they'd be both safe?
I think the loser of that has to have a big special teams role. If they're the starting punt gunner, then it's okay. If not, then it's questionable.
And we know James Pierre will always have a
big special
teams role.
He's going to be in that mix too. Yeah, yeah.
Peyton Wilson seems to be turning heads entering year two. I feel like everybody that we have on or I've had on, during these camp shows, it's Peyton Wilson did this today. Peyton Wilson did that today, and it's normally a good thing that he's doing.
Forget what he's done so far. How about what he said? He said the other day he thinks he's the best man coverage linebacker in the world. Now, I'm not saying he's right or it's wrong, but I don't think we saw that guy last year that was coming out and saying those kind of things. And then he went up against Kenny Gainwell and backs on backers. It was like four reps. I think Gainwell got the first of them, and then it was Wilson. The last one, he looks like he's going to bull rush him. He stops short. Gainwell gets way over on his heels, and Wilson just grabs him and throws him out of the way, gives him a little point and a wave goodbye on the way past. Like, we didn't see this guy taunting people on the field last year. And that's the kind of thing that, like, that's a linebacker that's feeling like he's making a huge impact. So, he's looked good on the field too, but I think it's a whole different Peyton Wilson you're getting in his second season.
It also seems, based on, again, the things that I've seen on social media, the reporting that all of you guys are doing, Queen and Wilson really not coming off the field together. Like, that tandem is solidly in there with no real rotation.
I think they may play the same personnel. It's going to be nickel. It's going to be the three corners we talked about. It's going to be Thornhill and Elliott. It's going to be those two linebackers. You know, Watt and Highsmith are going to play. Maybe they'll rotate on the defensive line a little bit. But I think those guys are going to be on the field together maybe like upwards of 80% of the time. I think it could just be that's the personnel, because they can do so many different things with the players that are on the field. You don't need to change personnel, because Peyton Wilson can cover man, can cover zone, can cover running back, can cover tight end. Patrick Queen can do all those things too. Deshaun Elliott can do all those things too. Jalen Ramsey can do all those things too. So you don't have to change personnel to do different stuff. You just leave everybody out there.
How has Cole Holcomb looked so far coming off that injury?
Cole looks like he skipped zero arm days while his knee was injured. I think, you know, you always wonder about a guy coming off a bad knee injury like that. It's like, oh, is he going to have his speed? You know, and I think one of the things that Cole looked at is like, hey, they got Peyton Wilson and Patrick Queen. He doesn't need to be a speed linebacker. I think he's looking at, hey, Landon Roberts is gone. I can go play the run and be the, you know, be the backup to those guys and be a guy they trust to call plays if something happens to Patrick Queen. And he looks jacked. And I talked to him. Wrote a really good story at SteelersNow.com. He cut off his mullet. He grew a little mustache.
I saw that.
And he said, well, first of all, my wife said, you're a dad now. It's time to get rid of the kid haircut. So that was that was the first thing. But the second thing is, like, I feel like I'm a rookie again. You know, like, I missed so much time, had the game taken away from me, and I just want to come out here and prove that I can still do it, prove how much I still love the game. And thought that was pretty cool. It seems like he has a really good mindset about it. So we'll see. I mean, he had a major injury, so it's going to take some work to get back to where he was, but he definitely looks like he can come play the run for sure.
And he's moving well enough, it seems.
Yeah, I don't think he's maybe as fast as he was before, but he's moving well enough that, I mean, it's funny, we don't have the pads on the first week, and there were a couple plays where you just see the collision coming, and you're like, you want to see it, but of course it can't happen, but he gets moving downhill in the hole. He can hit somebody.
A thought with the edge rushers, since they have better depth there than they've had in quite some time, because Herbig, a really good player, especially in a situation sense, you know, against, you know, pass down situations, and Jack Sawyer coming onto the scene. People, I think, would expect him to be better against the run, but he can still rush the passer. That maybe we get more, you know, blows during the game for Watt and Highsmith, so that in those late game situations, those guys are on the field for every single snap. Is that something that we might see, like a little bit more of a rotation between those guys to keep them fresh for late game spots?
I think that would be what the Steelers would like. You know, nobody's going to go drag T.J. Watt off the field if he doesn't want to come. You know, so he's got to be on board with it too. But I think that would be the Steelers' intention. You know, you look at how Andy Waddle came from Philly. You look at the way they rotate their entire front seven. You know, guys that were first-round picks aren't even starters 2-3 years in, because they just, it doesn't matter who starts. They change them over. I think the edges, they can do that, and I think they can do that inside too. You know, they've got some serious depth on that front seven. I think that's what they're looking for. So I definitely could see some more rotation there.
Derek Harmon going to start right away, it seems. It feels like he's making quite the impression.
Yeah, in the base defense, for sure. I'm not sure when they go nickel, if it'll be him or Benton that's kind of first. I expect those two and Cam Hayward to kind of end up with equal shares of that job, probably. They'll all end up somewhere close to each other in terms of snap count. And then we'll see. Daniel Ekwuale has looked really good as a fourth guy in there. Wyatt Black he's really good against the run. We haven't gotten to see a lot of that yet, but he gets his arms up in front of passes like you can't believe. Not a great pass rusher yet, but he's found a way to make an impact in that area. I think the quarterbacks are sick of it. He keeps swatting them right back in their faces. So they have depth for sure.
I mean, and that's, you know, if you can't get after the passer, I feel like that's maybe not quite as good as a sack, but, I mean, it's just as good. I mean, you bat a pass down, it's a negative play for the offense.
You don't even have to bat it down sometimes. There was a play today And they ran a really nice route combination to get Pat Freiermuth open. And Mason Rudolph was a quarterback. He's looking at Freiermuth the whole way. He sees it coming. And then Chuck Clark was in the gap jumping with his arms up. And Rudolph has to pump it, pull it down. He checked it down the other side. And someone on the sideline said, why did he throw it? Freiermuth was open. Well, it's because there was a guy in his passing lane. You don't even have to knock it down to make that kind of impact sometimes. I think this is as good of a defense as a well-rounded. They have stars. They have depth. They have positional versatility. Like, I don't know what else you could ask for about this defense. I do really feel like it should be one of the best in the league.
DeMarvin Leal feels kind of like the forgotten man. I mean, I forgot about him last year. We were in, like, week 13 or 14, whatever. We're getting into the cold weather, tough schedule part of the season. I forgot the guy was on the roster. How much does he have to make an impact here over the next few weeks to make this 53-man? Because it's going to be tight for guys like him.
Yeah, I had that neck injury last year. Pretty critical season for him. I think he's on the outside looking in right now. I think something has to happen for him to get in, whether that's him passing over somebody or somebody getting hurt or something like that. James, talented player, came out of college with a lot of hype, was talked about as a first-round pick coming out of his the year before his draft. I'm not sure the Steelers necessarily did, you know, right by him at the beginning. They kind of moved him around a whole bunch, never really settled on a position. They moved him again this offseason. He's been playing mostly outside linebacker. I'm not sure that's the best fit for him. I think he would have been better off overall going to a 4-3 team where he could just play defensive end. But, yeah, I think he needs to make something happen here to make the team.
So do you feel like unless he just goes off in the preseason, he's a likely cut?
Yeah, or maybe they could get something for him, a trade, you know, a high pedigree guy. Teams are that's never been exposed to the league. Teams
right.
are always, I'm not saying they get a lot, but teams are always interested in guys like that.
Talking to Alan Saunders from Pittsburgh Sports Now. He covers the Steelers for Steelers Now. You can join the conversation at 412-928-9370. That's also the fan text line, which is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. More with Alan coming up next. We are live at Live Casino here in Greensburg, Sports and Social Steel City on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It is Thursday, and that means 7-7-7 wing night here at Sports and Social Steel City at Live Casino. That started at 7 p.m. It's 7 wings, $7, some great flavors, and one of the ones that they brought out here at Sports and Social Steel City. And I'm with Alan Saunders, covers the Steelers for Pittsburgh Sports Now, and they brought out their hottest sauce that doesn't even have an official name, but it does include one of those Carolina Reaper peppers in the mix. It looks pretty intimidating. I'm probably going to throw one in a box to try at some point, maybe once I get back home, because I thought it might be dangerous to have on air. But you said you wanted to try one.
Yeah, we're going to do this,
Alan, and if you wanted to try it on air, I said it's up to you.
The lighting here is like red and purple. It kind of makes this look slightly radioactive. That's the sort of vibe I'm getting from just looking
yes.
at this. So we're going to see how hot this is. And if it's extremely hot, you might be doing the rest of this hour by yourself because I may not be able to speak. But we're going to give it a shot, and we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, and I've tried the other flavors here. They have sweet Thai chili. Their August flavor, which will debut officially tomorrow, is Cajun garlic barbecue. They have regular barbecue, buffalo, zesty garlic, which was really good. But Alan took a mighty bite into that wing, and now we wait on the early returns.
I feel like I'm on hot ones. This is great.
Now, what worries me, though, is that flavors like that, it'll hit you later on. Like, it maybe didn't hit you right now. By the way, you can listen to this show, the Fan Evening Show, on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan. That is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at South Hills Kia. .net. So still some early returns here.
Yeah, that's hot, no doubt. It's you know what? Sometimes you get the really hot sauces, and they're just like obnoxiously hot. Just like makes you hurt, but it doesn't taste like anything. Not that at all. Very good. Got some sweetness in there too. It's hot though. It's hot, though.
Yeah. So what you just said there, though, is important. When you get the hot sauces that are made to just be hot and they really don't taste like anything, that's what I tend to stay away from.
Yeah. And I don't just want to hurt. If it tastes like something, I'm okay.
Yeah, like when I went around and did that whole wing series, like I was open to trying some places' hot sauces, but like I never just casually go out and seek those because I don't want to just like ruin my experience if it is something that is just all heat, nothing else.
I'm going to finish this wing, but I don't know how many of these I could handle. And I'm pretty good with
you. You have done a pretty good job here. I am impressed. You've pretty much taken down the entire wing. And you, if you need something to help cool you off, you can grab an ice-cold Miller Lite right here. You show proof of a training camp ticket and receive a happy hour. You receive happy hour drink pricing where you can get those ice-cold Miller Lite drafts for only $4. You can also try the tailgate package, which includes a nacho platter, 24 boneless wings. You can maybe try the hottest wings that they have here at Sports and Social Steel City. And you can also get one of those gigantic beer towers, 100 ounces of Miller Lite for just $65. You got through it.
It was good. It was good. I would eat it again. I don't know how many I could handle, though. That's very hot.
They might need to do one of those challenges. Like, hey, if you can eat like 10 or 12.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. You get a T-shirt. You get your name on the wall. You get tickets to something. I don't know.
Listen, you're the wingman. You've got this whole thing figured out.
Have you ever entered one of those contests?
No. I'm not a – I don't know. It's never appealed to me. I like food. I'm definitely like a foodie kind of person, but – I don't need to be competitively eating. That's never appealed to me.
So even at, like, the most amateur level, you never did?
No. No, if somebody wanted to do something for, like, charity or something, I would give it a shot. But I don't feel like that's my specialty.
Now,
this I could handle. One very hot wing.
Now, our guy T-Bird, I don't know where he got off to. One of our engineers, he was the guy that won our fan producer hot dog challenge last 4th of July. Now, what made all of us look bad and what really wasn't portrayed to the public, Pony purposefully got his guy, Chef Homer, to get like 3-quarter-pound hot dogs. Like, these things were enormous. So, like, T-Burr ends up being the winner with like 6 or 7, whatever he had. And, of course, you have the people just out for slaughter on social media. Like, how could these guys only eat 6 or 7 hot dogs? You have to understand, they were well over double, like, the size of a normal hot dog.
I think Pony's just trying to help out with some quality meats there. But I'm not sure he was thinking about the repercussions. You'd have been better off with the $1 pack of the cheapest hot dogs you can find. That way you could say you ate more of them.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was hoping for. And then we all see him, and I'm like, here we go. Like, this is going to make all of us look foolish. But let's get back to some of the football chatter here. We talked a lot about that defense, Alan, in that first segment together. And you mentioned that Aaron Rodgers so far has looked pretty good. Now, maybe the chemistry is not fully there yet with some of these guys. But for a quarterback that is now into his early 40s, I assume as good as he could look.
There's definitely, like, some mastery of the offense stuff that he's still working on. He said that himself the last time we talked to him. But, you know, he missed Jonnu Smith on a screen pass the other day, for example. Like, that's something you'll get figured out. You get it worked out. But, man, when his release has always been incredible. I was blown away the first time I saw him throw live in person. It's the best release I've ever seen. He doesn't look like he's throwing hard. He looks like he's just kind of messing around, and then you – hear the velocity of the ball through the air and the pop from the gloves, and you realize, oh, he's not messing around. And then today in practice, DK Metcalf ran a slant, tight window, and Aaron really just leaned back into one and let it fly, and it had an incredible amount of velocity on it. His arm is still great. He doesn't move like he used to. It maybe isn't as consistent as he used to be in terms of pinpoint accuracy, but he gets the ball where it needs to go, and I think this is going to work. You know, the off the field stuff may be just as important as his arm. People were talking about, you know, he's going to be this locker room cancer. He's going to be a bad teammate. He's spending time after practice talking to, you know, not starters, got guys on the roster bubble, you know, giving them his time, making jokes, planning pranks. I don't see any – I've not talked to a single player on or off the record that hasn't been anything other than tickled by Aaron's presence. And I talked to a coach today who told me he's learning things from Aaron Rodgers. They're in meetings, and he's presenting, hey, this is the offense. And Aaron will say, oh, you ever think about trying it this way? And they'll go, yeah, no, I didn't. He's been a model citizen, and I think that's probably just as important as anything else.
Now, when you say you think this is going to work, what's your definition of that?
Well, I think he can be better than he was with – more productive than he was with the Jets last year. I think you look at the offense, and I think it will be a less is more thing. He doesn't need to be the be-all and end-all. They're going to run the ball a lot still. He's going to have fun doing something he's never really done before, which is directing a run-first offense. But being the guy that gets to pull the ripcord and say, oh, yeah, we're going to run the ball, we're going to run the ball. Oh, wait, there's nine in the box. Okay, never mind. I'm pulling this back and I'm throwing it to DK Metcalf. And I think that whole idea works a lot better when you have a player with Aaron's skill set where he can diagnose exactly what the defense is doing just by the way they line up. And he'll get it right about when to pull it, when to make the check, when to make an audible. Arthur Smith has gone on and on every time he's talked this offseason about how, you know, he didn't really agree with the narrative last year about, you know, he didn't have freedom in his offense. And I think you're going to see Aaron Rodgers out there doing all kinds of that stuff.
Okay, so that's what I was going to ask next. Like, will he have the freedom that we haven't seen the last few quarterbacks have as we venture on through the season? Now, I mean, it seemed, and I know the whole story with Russell Wilson and Arthur Smith, it seemed like Wilson absolutely had more than, you know, Justin Fields and the younger guys that were in that 2023 group. But it seems like Rodgers, I mean, this is, all due respect to Ben Roethlisberger, this is the most decorated quarterback he's ever worked with.
Yeah, I think he's not going to have the Jets level of control that he had where he handpicked the coaches. He was basically a part-time general manager in addition to the quarterback. He's not going to have that. But, you know, once he came here, he picked this scheme. He said, I want to play in Arthur Smith's offense. So once you put him in it, I think after that, he's going to have free reign over what he wants to do. And I think that's a good plan. I think it'll work. They're still going to run the ball a lot. Caleb Johnson, Jaylen Warren, I think that's a great one too. I trust the offensive line a lot better run blocking than I do pass blocking. I still think that's their primary way forward. But having him at the helm to decide when to take a chance, when to take a shot, I think that'll be a really effective combination.
How do you feel Rodgers has worked with Mason and Will Howard, the guys behind him?
Will Howard has done nothing but talk about Aaron Rodgers and how great he's been. I think Aaron really, from day one, made it an intentional point to say that he was going to try to do everything he could for Will Howard and be a mentor for him. He talked when he was in Green Bay about doing that for Jordan Love. And, you know, obviously, if you're familiar with his story, he didn't get that when he was a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's been pretty clear that he's set out to do that for everyone that's fallen behind him. Now, that doesn't mean he's it's guaranteed to make any difference for Will Howard. There's lots of backup quarterbacks that were behind Brett Favre in Green Bay that didn't turn out to do much anything. One of them's his quarterback's coach right now, actually, Tom Arth.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't save Tom's career. But, I think that just goes back to the teammate thing. You know, if he's spending extra time mentoring their sixth-round draft pick, I don't know how anybody's thinking that's a bad guy.
You brought up Caleb Johnson and Jaylen Warren a moment ago. How do you foresee that dynamic duo working?
Caleb's had a couple welcome to the NFL moments this week.
I heard about the backs on backers.
He got crunched by Malik Harrison, who's a big dude. He also has had some adventures in the receiving department as well. A couple drops. He's dropped a couple kickoffs. That part of the game, that everything other than take the ball in the handoff and run, is going to be a work in progress for Caleb Johnson. But when he takes the ball in the handoff and runs, it is electric. He just is. You know, I don't think there was questions about his speed, right? And you look at the 40 time and you think, well, it's not impressive, but he just gets up to speed so fast. It just takes one good – there was a play the other day. Dylan Cook made a really nice block on the end, you know, sealed the edge, and he's just gone straight upfield. Totally different player than Najee Harris in that regard, in that it just takes a little crack, and then there's a big play. I think he's going to be more – you're going to see more explosive runs from the Steelers with him and Jalen Warren running than he did last year.
And he fits the offense better.
Yeah. Hey, he gets to the edge, his speed. He's going to have to work on the pass pro stuff, the receiving stuff. I don't expect him to get a lot of play on third down, not with Jalen Warren and Kenny Gainwell. That's what they're the best at. But I think by the end of the year he could contend for maybe even a starting share of the first and second down reps.
Early impressions of Jonnu Smith. He missed the first couple of practices of camp, but now he seems to be pretty full go.
He's a chess piece, man. He does all kinds of different stuff. Lines up in the backfield, out at wide receiver, runs really good routes, very athletic, made a great catch today, a diving grab over Juan Thornhill, and then spiked the ball on him and started a fight, which is, again, like I love all that stuff. But I think Smith is going to be – I was talking to Alfredo Roberts, tight ends coach today, and, you know, I asked him, well, you got these two guys. What do you do with them? He goes, you think anybody in Cincinnati is asking a wide receivers coach, you got these three guys, what are you going to do with them? He's like, I'm giddy. That's what I'm going to do. I'm really excited about this. So I think it's – they'll probably play the two tight ends as a base look, I think, most of the time. But it's hard to call Jonnu Smith just a tight end. I think today he lined up at fullback and took a carry. Like, they got him all over the place. And that's really hard to defend.
How much does Darnell Washington work into the offense as a third guy?
I think he's going to play a lot too. They had four tight ends on the field at one point today in practice. I think three is going to be pretty common. Darnell, man, if you go to my Twitter feed, there's a video of him hitting the blocking sled. It's about 8 feet in the air. It's like you strapped a hovercraft to it. I've never seen anybody do the things he does from the tight end position in terms of blocking. He doesn't have to be a big-time receiving threat to be a super valuable part of the team. I think there's this angst from the fan base about Darnell's like, oh, why don't they throw him the ball more? Why don't they use him more? And it's like, they use him a lot. They don't throw him the ball more, but they use him a lot. And you got two tackles that are kind of probably the two biggest question marks on this team right now. And if you got Darnell Washington in the game, I think you want him helping them.
Let's talk about those tackles more so Broderick Jones, because this really is the big year in his career. You know, if things don't work out now, maybe they could work out with another team, but there's certainly no guarantee of that. It does seem like the concern level is rising with him, you know, as the weeks go on here, but we won't really know the story with him until we get to actual, you know, actual games, like next week.
Yeah, I don't think he's been bad so far, but I don't think he's been noticeably better either, and that's kind of a problem. I don't think he was good enough last year, and the way he struggles, it's, you know, it's a lot of like good, 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 and then just one rep where you look at him like, what are you doing? And when you're talking about putting a guy like that on the blind side of a 41-year-old quarterback who doesn't run that well anymore, it only takes one what are you doing for Aaron Rodgers to be in pieces. And I think that's a big – it's a big question mark. It's a big unanswered part of this team is, can Broderick Jones be the backside protector for Aaron Rodgers that Aaron Rodgers needs? And Troy Fautanu I have less question marks about, but he's played one game. I mean, that's still – nobody who's going into the year with a tackle that's played one game is feeling real good about it. Like, I have a cautious optimism. I think he'll be – I think he's going to be a good player, but it's still not what you're looking for going into the year with not a very mobile quarterback, an older quarterback, and have a very experienced tackle and a question mark on the other side.
It seems like Roman Wilson is quite a lightning rod – player, like no matter what. I think it was Brian Batko who put something out there either yesterday or the day before, just a simple, you know, pitch and catch for Roman Wilson, and it was just people on both sides of the argument with him.
Yeah, he had the best catch of camp today. He beat Joey Porter on a double move, and the ball was a little bit underthrown, and he fought back through him in the air to make a really acrobatic catch. Joey kind of landed on his knees with his hands on his head. He thought he had an easy interception. And then here's Roman Wilson fighting him off in midair. He's got to make more of those. You know, I don't think he's going to have a huge role right away. Like I said, I think it's going to be a lot of two tight ends. I expect Calvin Austin to be the receiver out there when there's only two of them. So he's got to find a way to make a smaller role being impactful, whether that's some blocking, some catch and run stuff. I'd really like to see him get the ball in his hands and get moving. You saw a lot of that in the Michigan offense. Or making the occasional play down the field. He's going to play on the outside. They need somebody to step up and take that. When they want to go traditional 11 personnel, somebody's got to take that role. May as well be him. But he's got to make more plays like he did today if he wants to do that.
Who are the three guys you are looking forward to seeing most in the Friday Night Lights setting?
That's a good question. I'm looking for Jaylen Warren to get some revenge in backs-on-backers. He did get Patrick Queen, but he got beat up a little bit in as the drill went on. That's one of those ones where, like, that's a specialist. That dude loves that drill. I think he'll get after it. I'm really excited to see Rodgers put on a show. He's always had that little bit of, like, showman about him.
Yep.
You remember the game when he was with Green Bay and he came to Pittsburgh and he kind of gave the little wink and nod and point to the sideline to Mike Tomlin. He's always been the guy that was willing to play to the crowd. What a better opportunity for him to do that than that. And, Derek Harmon, man, I'm excited for the fan base to get their eyes on him. Have you ever remembered in your life a Steelers season where at this point in the year, the first-round draft pick had less hype than Derek Harmon has right now?
I brought that up. I brought that up on the show last night. It feels like he has flown so far under the radar for being a guy taken in the first round.
And he's been really good. Like it's not like he's flown under the radar because he's been bad. He's looked awesome. I just think all these other additions have been the shiny new toy, and I'm excited for the fan base to get to see him work because he's been really, really good so far, and I think he could make some splash plays out there at Latrobe Memorial Stadium.
Alan Saunders, check out his stuff. He covers the Steelers for Steelers Now, Pittsburgh Sports Now. He tried the hottest wing here at Sports and Social
kicking.
Steel City.
Still kicking.
Yeah, I mean, you might need to get another – I mean, now cold water doesn't help. It hurts it. That's what's so evil about.
Yeah, we need one of those towers.
Yeah.
Towers of beer.
Or try
that'll take care of it.
Try to see if they have milk or something like that. Alan, thanks for hopping on, man. This was fun.
Absolutely, anytime.
Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Great weather in the area tomorrow. Sunny, temps in the low 80s, so it should be very ideal for the Friday Night Lights practice out in Latrobe. Want to thank the fine folks here at Sports and Social Steel City Inside Live Casino here in Greensburg for hooking us up all night. Great stuff from my guy Gabe and T-Bird here keeping us on the air. Joel Nelson for his fine work behind the glass. Everybody who joined the program tonight to either talk Buccos or whatever it may be. This does it for the camp tour. We'll have more coming up next. But from Sports and Social Steel City here at Live Casino, Donnie Chedrick signing off on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.